Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and pray that in our time of worship together this day, we might be blessed with the awareness of the living Christ in our midst and of the special gift of this moment of our lives. We extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us for our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are yet one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. As always, we're thanking our worship leaders for giving of their time and talents this day. And so we offer thanks to Jeff and Robin Clausen, to Tom Foster and Sarah Lynn Keller. And special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for making this worship possible by the technical expertise that they bring to it. We invite all of you to light a candle with me as I light the Christ candle. That will happen just following the announcements this morning and in just a few minutes. So we encourage you to have a candle ready to do that. And also, we have a time of lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations at the time of the morning prayer. And so many of those you will find in the church's bulletin. But we also encourage you, if you have others you'd like us to share in worship this day, to email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this morning. And finally, from me, we have a time, as always, of post-worship fellowship that happens by Zoom video conferencing. It will happen just immediately after worship this day, so around 10:30 or so, and that will happen via Zoom. We can find a link to that in your bulletin. You'll also find it on the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. And there's also a link in the church's weekly emailing link that goes out on Fridays and also on Sundays. So we hope that you have that and will be able to join us this day. And I know that Sarah Lynn has at least one important announcement to share with us this morning.
Sarah Lynn. I do. Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, next Sunday, July 18th, we will be returning to the sanctuary for worship on Sunday morning at 9:30. And we invite you to join us there if you can. This will be an exciting day as we return to our church building after such a long time away. We will continue to provide digital worship options as well, so never fear if you are not ready to return or if you are on vacation but still want to join us, you can do that through our live stream via Pegasus or our local access broadcasts as well. And we just ask that when you do come, please bring a mask. We're going to be staying socially distant in the sanctuary, and following worship, we will go outside for some fellowship time outdoors. And so you can bring water or a snack if you wish. We won't be providing those yet. That will come later. And also, just we ask that you bring an open heart and a spirit of grace as we enter this transition time. It is exciting, but it is also a time fraught with some anxiety for people. And so we ask that you just be aware that we don't all have the same wants and needs at this time, but we are so excited to be able to be together physically in the building. So see you next Sunday.
And so we continue to rely on, to lean on the Spirit of the living God to continue to keep us bound together, one in spirit. We do that. And of course, during the time of worship, as we light our candles together, we are in particular remembering that Spirit that is alive among us. And so we know that by these friendly flames that we are symbolizing that Spirit of God in our midst. So let us light those candles now, knowing that there is no distance, there is no time that can separate us from God or from the Spirit of one another. Let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. God gives us one day at a time.
Long enough for laughter to follow any tears.
And for prayer and silence to dance together.
Time enough to help someone in need.
To notice beauty and to praise the Maker.
Sufficient time to build bridges of forgiveness.
Or tear down walls of resentment.
The right time to embrace friends, smile at strangers, play with children, and sing praise to God.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together,
Eternal and loving God, we come remembering that all our days and years are gifts from you. As we center our thoughts upon your goodness, we are prompted to glorify you with our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Receive then all expressions of our love and reverence. May we truly realize this day that we have been with you and you with us. May we recall that you are forever offering us opportunities to live and love, give and serve. Amen.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing our peace with others. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which signifies that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we come to a time now of lifting up the offerings and gifts that we bring before our loving God. We are not passing an offering plate on this day. Indeed, even when we return to in-person worship, we won't yet be passing an offering plate. And yet we mark this moment when we intentionally thank our loving God for the many blessings and gifts that have been bestowed on us, and recognize that there are ways for us to share those with the world in order to make it the place that God would have it be. And so we follow that inclination, we follow the Spirit and the guidance of using those gifts well. And of course, when you make a money contribution to this church, it helps us to be the church in action in the world. And so we invite your generosity in that way. You can continue to write a check and send that to the church. That would be perfectly acceptable. And of course, if you wish to make a contribution online, you can do that by visiting our church's website and its secure online giving portal at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Let us give God our praise and thanksgiving, and demonstrate our care for our siblings in God's family, known and unknown, through our offerings shared this day. Let us pray. Eternal God, we dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of life and love and peace. And so receive these gifts and lead us to use our time and talents wisely to praise and to serve you and in this moment and every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Psalms and the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning in Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron and those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On May 3rd, 2003, the state of New Hampshire awoke to sad news. An old friend had passed away. Collapsing in the wee hours, he went undiscovered until morning. No foul play was suspected. Though blessed with long life, 30,000 years, a ripe old age by biblical standards even, it was still a shock. For when the old man of the mountain, that 40-foot high, 25-foot wide, granite profile made of overhanging blocks, fell from his white mountain eyrie, a New Hampshire symbol was lost forever. For decades, chunks of rock and from that formation had fallen, and ledges were secured with cables and anchoring spikes, and they even tried epoxy glue to hold it together. But time finally had its way. Discovered in 1805, the old man has enormous symbolic value. It remains the state's emblem, adopted in 1945, along with that familiar state motto, live free or die. The Glacier Car Formation is still found on license plates, of course, and road signs, and the state's commemorative corridor. It's been drawn by numerous artists, celebrated in stories like Hawthorne's The Great Stone Face, and it's also one of the nation's most photographed features. Daniel Webster wrote of the old man, up in the Franconia Mountains, God Almighty has hung out a sign to show that in New England, he makes men. Hence the profound sense of loss. Dismay over the collapse was so great that people left flowers in tribute and spoke of changing the flag to include the profile. The then New Hampshire governor was committed to rebuilding the old man. Well, it didn't happen. Today, that loss persists, though the rock face's instability has ruled out a prosthetic replacement of the old man. A memorial now includes a row of vertical steel rods that allows visitors to line up a series of irregular edges and see the outline of the famous profile on the cliff where the old man once stood. Plans for a larger memorial with granite monoliths that would have created a 25-foot tall profile replica of the five ledges that form the original profile. Well, those were scrapped in 2013 due to its $5 million price tag. I've been thinking about the old man and what his demise says about how we deal with the passage of time. Today, attempts to hold back the ravages of time with cables and glue, well, those things seem kind of feeble. Reconstructing a natural formation fashioned by the workings of time itself seems a little absurd. And spending $5 million for a memorial park seems particularly odd, especially when the largest granite block would have had to have been imported from Vermont. Yet it's an understandable attempt to deal with our gut-wrenching feeling when something seemingly permanent vanishes. It's a shock to the psyche when the impermanence of things is absolutely laid bare, which may account for the fact that signs of the old man, though the real one is now nearly two decades deceased, still abound. Though we live in it, time is a mystery. The past is gone, the future is not yet, and the present keeps slipping away. Years ago, I visited Greenwich, England, the home of Greenwich Mean Time and the Prime Meridian since 1884. It's long been a center for astronomical study. Navigators across the world have set their clocks according to its time of day. The National Maritime Museum there is filled with machines and instruments invented to measure time, mainly for the purpose of navigation, and specifically the determination of longitude. Clocks of every size and shape and description, chronometers, intricately complex mechanisms replicating in miniature, the movements of the sun and the moon, the earth and the other planets, cosmic clockworks to capture and present it with precision. I remember glancing at my cell phone's time display, since I don't even carry a watch anymore, wear one, bemused by those archaic mechanisms. But today I am struck by the fact that we are no closer to mastering time now than we have ever been. Time can still feel threatening, especially because of the changes that its passing inevitably brings, particularly the reality of our own passing. It seems to me that having a healthy spiritual life means somehow making peace with time. One of our problems is that we must live in time while God is outside of time. How can we relate to a God outside of time, beyond one of those of the most dominant forces that we have to experience in our lives? Well, Scripture hints that how we approach time directly affects our spirituality. This is the day that the Lord has made. Sounds like a command when we hear the psalmist say, "Rejoice and be glad in it." Honor each day because God made it. But I also hear the psalmist saying that each day, well, is sacred. Whether we rejoice or we weep, that matters little. What matters is that we treat the day, this now, as a holy time, a piece of eternity. We're usually either preparing for something in that future that's way out there someplace, or busy with what happened in the past. But when we can enter this moment fully, we can in some way touch holiness. What's at stake, I think, is how we receive and experience the eternal yet presently active Spirit of God. Thoreau spoke of the eternal that we sense through the temporal when he said, "Time is but a stream I go a-fishing in. I drink at it. But while I drink, I see the sandy bottom and detect how shallow it is. Its thin current slips by and eternity remains." In a sense, the spiritual life, I think, is a quest to stand with one foot in eternity. Frederick Buechner says that this can happen, really, when we participate in events filled with unusual beauty or joy or pain, such as birth, death, marriage. We catch a glimpse of what our lives and life itself is all about. Not just of the present, but of the past and future as well. Eternity. I recently felt this shift in the quality of time when I attended my niece's high school graduation in Vermont a few weeks ago. I was simultaneously struck by the memories of Ruth as a very small child playing on the floor there with her blocks and playing with her, and of a glimpse of the adult woman into whom she is turning. And also by the vivid recollection of my own high school graduation day, the acute awareness that 4 decades have passed so very quickly, and of how time is rushing by. All of those things at once. Eternity. But I also think that more ordinary events can have this capacity to help us experience time beyond time. You may recall me saying last year that I've been kind of dreading an event whose time, it appears, is finally now. Teaching my daughter Ellie to drive. I've been remembering those tense, fraught times 10 years ago as I taught my older daughter, Sarah, to drive back when she was in high school. Not because she was a bad driver, but because, well, you know, the situation that this was. Well, until now, Ellie hasn't had a need for a license. She's lived and been in New York City for school. But this fall, she's headed off to Vermont, and she is definitely going to need to have a way to get herself around. So this summer, we're cramming in practice hours so that she can pass her driving test. It's a grueling schedule, and fitting it in with everything else that we're all up to in our lives is a bit tricky. All of this combined has meant that I haven't been exactly keen on having this experience. But the reality, now that we're into it, has been quite the opposite. It's been a delightful time, really. She's a very competent driver from the start. Learning at age 25 probably helps. It's not nearly as anxiety-ridden as it might be for her or for me. We're getting lots of one-on-one father-daughter time together before she heads off on having new adventures in the wider world again after the pandemic. And overall, I am recognizing the close relationship that we actually have and the fondness that we have for one another demonstrated in those moments of listening and guiding and learning and interacting. I have never expected any of that out of this particular situation, this particular event, but there it is, and I am feeling now so grateful for this opportunity. We sometimes call this quality time. But from a spiritual perspective, it is something more. Our attitude, how we treat that time, can transform it into holy time. The precious moment when we make the time, bring our attention to someone or something that matters to us, set the stage for finding satisfaction in a significant encounter that's meaning-filled. Now, I'm tempted at this point in the sermon to do what I so often do, and that is to illustrate my point with some examples of how we might make time with images that I give you. But I'm not going to do that today. Instead, I want you to look inside yourself, to look inside yourself, and what opportunities do you or could you take to bring an attitude of making time to the seemingly ordinary situations and circumstances of your life. Because making that choice might mean the possibility of finding the eternal beyond the moment, finding the holy beyond the everyday. I'm convinced that as spiritual beings, our focus on the eternal spirit has the capacity to put all of our experiences of the passage of time in holy perspective. Paul Tillich said, "Time is our hope, time is our despair, and time is the mirror in which we see eternity. Among its many mysteries are its power to devour everything within its sphere, its power to receive eternity within itself, and its power to drive toward new creation." Tillich affirms what we know and what we fear, that the ravages of time will devour all things, including us. But time offers hope as well. God didn't just say, after giving us time, "See what you can do with this. Make of it what you will. Make the best of it." God didn't do that. With the gift of time, God also gives us the gift of creation and of the continuous possibility of new creation by the attention and choices that we make. Like with the old man of the mountain, we can get desperate to hold back time, not with cables and glue, but with exercise and pills and plastic surgery and the like. Or nostalgically recalling an illusory golden age in our past, maybe. Yet we can't control what time's passing will bring. The only way to face the reality of impermanence is with the permanence of what our faith affirms. That God's Spirit is in the eternal and in the temporal realms all at once, empowering and transforming us. Thomas Carlyle said, "One who has no vision of eternity has no hold on time." May we have the wisdom to let go of the things time and change will inevitably carry away and make friends with time as we seek to live in the moment with eyes and ears attuned to the eternal spirit that never fails to move in and enrich our lives. May our loving God make it so. Amen. And so we take time now. We make time. We make time to honor this particular moment by gathering together in prayer. A moment when we use our intention of care and concern and love for others and for the good creation to lift up in prayer those things on our hearts, to make this moment one where we recognize the eternal beyond the temporal. That's part of what we're doing in prayer. Part of what we're doing in prayer as well is recognizing the Spirit in our midst, the one who can bind us with one another and with our loving God. So we bring all of these things into our time of prayer now. We also bring into our time of prayer the celebrations and joys, the cares and concerns that have been lifted up over the weeks, those that you will find in your bulletin and some that may have come to us before or during this worship. And so I'm going to turn now to Sarah Lynn Keller to let us know about other prayers that have come to us this day. Sarah Lynn.
Thank you. So today we ask for prayers for Richard Arrett and his family, and also for the friends and family of Pamela Friend Gwynn. Pamela is the mother of Heather Psyche, and she passed away on June 27th at the age of 78. We also ask for prayers for folks who are traveling this summer and away from home, for wherever their travels take them.
This day, I would also offer prayers for our church in this time of transition in our worship life as we prepare to return, for some of us at least, to return to in-person worship. And as we know, transitions of all kinds can be fraught in one way or another. And so I ask for prayers in particular for our worship leaders as they make the changes that will be necessary in order to make that kind of hybrid worship possible. And so I know many of them will be working hard over this next week to get all those final details taken care of. And so I express gratitude on behalf of our church community for all that they are doing. And I invite you to be in prayer with one another now. Let's pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for this new day and this additional time to live in your world and to experience what it means to be alive and to be part of your good creation in this moment. As we go about the busyness of our lives, we ask that you keep us mindful of this gift and the awesome opportunity to enjoy and find satisfaction in what life can bring. By your Spirit, Holy One, help us to bring our attention to the things and people that surround us, to see the extraordinary in the ordinary, and in particular to sense the connection between this world and moment with you and with the eternal. Loving God, we are mindful that so many of us are living only to get through this moment, this day, this year. Life can be, and often is, hard, filled with disappointments and with pain, with grief, with loss and anxiety, with injustices, with hatred and cruelty and violence. Sometimes the times we live in feel like more than we want, and we just as soon get them over with. And yet, loving God, help us not to squander the moments that we have. Help us to find within all of these other challenging things the beauty and the joy of this world and life. Assist us to appreciate the good and joy that is sometimes found in simple things. And using whatever power you have placed in our hands, guide us. Guide us well in the use of that power to change the difficult and unjust and unloving conditions that so many of our siblings in your family face every day, every moment. We give you thanks for all of these things and the possibility of your people living in this moment and simultaneously being part of your eternal now. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Siblings in Christ, arise now from worship, and as you do, may God grant you the courage to walk in the paths of peace, patience to outlast the troubles of the day, and joy that radiates from the inside out, and love that erases barriers and heals wounds. God go with you, for this worship is over, that our service may begin. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.